Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again. Got a wonderful day going here. So let's go to the Lord. Father God, I just praise you and I glorify you and I thank you, Lord, for the things that you are starting to do in the world. And Lord, we just ask and we pray for wisdom and discernment out of your word to talk to the people about what it is to be a true disciple of Christ. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your anointing to spread the gospel also. And Lord, to tell the people the truth about the Word of God and what it is to be a disciple. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. And we praise you, Father. Well, I tell you, that's what I want to talk about is what it is to be a true disciple. You know, the first man-child in the New Testament, Jesus, was a natural man-child. He was born a Jew, and he came first to the lost sheep of natural Israel. But the way this is going to be repeated in our day is the man-child who's coming is going to be a man-child of New Testament spiritual Israel to lead spiritual Israel out of bondage, just as Jesus came and led a remnant of natural Israel out of bondage. Think about what Jesus is saying here in John 8, verse 31. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him. Well, that's interesting. There's a lot of people out there who say they believe in Jesus today, right? So he was speaking to those Jews who believed him. Verse 31, Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, if ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. You see, we're missing something today in the modern churches. That is discipleship. In the modern churches, it's accept Jesus. It's kind of a step over a line and you're in kind of a deal. A person really doesn't have to do nothing. And if you have any sin problem, that's not a problem either because you really don't. You're not saved by works according to them. Therefore, you don't have to worry about a thing. You're already in. But Jesus said to those people who did believe him, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? In other words, there are a lot of people who believe in Jesus, but they're not disciples. They don't have eternal life because Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 22, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. That word for disciple is mathetes, which means a learner and a follower. This is someone who is studying the master, who's following in his steps, who's learning what it is to be a Christian. Now, Jesus didn't make Christians. There's no verse in the Bible that says that he was making disciples. He put conditions on discipleship of the people who were following him, of the people who were listening, of the people who were believing. And today, with these modern churches, all a person has to do is believe in Jesus. It's an easy believism that has no conditions whatsoever. Jesus, though, put conditions on discipleship. Well, here's one of them right here in John chapter 8, verse 31. If you abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. And the Bible says in 2 John 1, verse 9, whosoever goeth onward and abides not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. He didn't say who started out with you, but who continued with you and continued to abide in the teaching of Christ. So he's saying the same thing to these people who believed in him, that if his words would abide in them, they would truly be his disciples. And there's a lot of people out there who are not disciples of Christ, and we're about to see a great falling away because of it. You know, many people follow the Sadducees. the Pharisees and the zealots in Jesus' day instead of following him. But Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 47, he that is of God hears the words of God. That remnant among them who had the gift and calling of God, who had the gift of true faith, they followed him out. Now remember that Jesus is speaking to the people who had believed him. So he put this condition on them. He says in John 8 and 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those people who believe him, who abide in his word, they're going to know the truth, and the truth will make them free. However, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Zealots answered back in verse 33, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, if the man-child come and preaches this same message, quoting Jesus, what kind of reaction would a ministry get out of the overwhelming majority of Christianity which had been raised up under the Pharisees and Sadducees of today? What do you mean set free? I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. What are you talking about being set free? It will be, we're Abraham's seed all over again. By the way, what does it mean to be Abraham's seed? Romans 4 and 16 says, for this cause it is of faith that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. That's all of the seed of the elect, all of the seed of the remnant. Going on, it says, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, this is speaking, of course, to the Roman church. And it's an overwhelming Gentile church that Paul is speaking to. And he says that Abraham is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations, which is also the word for Gentiles, have I made thee. So Abraham was the father of the people who had faith. They had the faith of Abraham. They were the people who believed the promise, that the promise may be sure to all the seed. The people who believe the promises of God, the people who have faith, these are the seed of Abraham. Well, what is it that we're supposed to believe? As Jesus said in John 8 and 31, if you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples? Let's suppose, for an instance, you believe in a particular religion and their ideas of the word. That's not the seed that's born from above, is it? If we're going to be born of the Father, it has to be the seed that came down out of heaven. It can't be another man's seed. It can't be the seed of the Pharisees. And as we read on, we'll see that another seed didn't work. Another seed could not bring forth Christians. In fact, the people whom those other seeds brought forth couldn't even recognize Christ. And it's the same thing today. When the man-child ministry comes, the same exact thing is going to happen. History is going to repeat. The people who consider themselves sons of Abraham are not going to recognize that they must abide in his word to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Verse 33, they answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed and have never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Verse 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that commits sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abides not in the house forever. The Son abides forever. Now, we need to understand that abiding in the Word will set us free. And that's according to what Jesus said. They didn't believe there was a possibility of being set free from sin. And most of the church today doesn't believe there's a possibility of being set free from sin either. Jesus said if you abide in his word, you would be set free from sin. And that those people who were in bondage to sin would not abide in the house forever. Well, that must mean the word has the ability to set free from sin, and most of the church doesn't know that, just as most of the Jews didn't know it. And that's very interesting. We don't need to wonder why there's going to be a great falling away. It's going to happen because most of the church don't believe in the power of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Now John chapter 8 and verse 36 says, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, glory to God. He does that by you abiding in his word, and that's what he said. The Son didn't set you free when you first stepped into the kingdom. He set only your spirit free at that time. Now he wants to set your soul free. And he wants to sanctify you and your soul by crucifying the old soul life. And in the natural, in the letter, these people were sons of Abraham, and they couldn't imagine themselves not to be saved. And according to their thinking, all you had to do to be saved is to be born a Jew and to have the covenant. Well, it's the same way today. There's a lot of people out there that think all I got to do is to be born again. All I have to do is accept Jesus as my Savior. Does that make you a shoo-in in the kingdom? No, it doesn't. That's a lie. Just like as it was a lie to these people. They had the same idea. They thought they had unconditional eternal security just because they were Jews. But there are other people today who are not abiding in his word who call themselves a Christian, even though they were not disciples, learners, and followers of Christ. He said a person had to abide in his word to be a disciple. They're still in bondage to sin. And he says they won't abide in the house forever. Oh, folks, we need to be careful. If you're buying into that garbage from the church, believe me, there won't be any reason for you to accept the man-child ministry when it comes to restore the doctrine of the truth of the word, which is the only thing that'll set people free. It's the only seed of God that creates Christians. And the rest of the church is just following the Pharisees and Sadducees. John 8 and 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, yet ye seek to kill me, because my word has not free course in you. And again, folks, the same thing is going to happen. These people who are coming to teach the pure word of God are going to be heretics to those people who don't want to lose their life, to those people who make excuses as to why it all passed away. And they don't have to abide in it anymore. They're not the seed of God. They're the seed of the Pharisees. Verse 38, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, and ye also do the things which ye heard from your father. Well, now, wait a minute. These were Jews. They knew they were the chosen people of God. They knew they were the kingdom people, the ones with the covenant. Isn't it the same today? Are there some people today who believe that they're chosen of God, members of the new covenant? Yes, exactly the same, and they're not going to abide in the house forever. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So was Jesus denying that they were Abraham's children? No. He knew they were Abraham's children in the flesh, in the natural, but that's not what counts in the New Testament. We just discovered a person can be Abraham's child only if they walk by faith in the promises. Well, the overwhelming majority of the church nowadays, folks, denies the promises of God. And you wonder why they're not bearing fruit into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It's because they deny the promises of God. They reject the word, the seed, which is to beget them into the Father, to be born from above. And now they accept only the seed of their religion, but they reject the seed that comes from God. And so Jesus said to them in John 8:39, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. And if you are the seed of God, it's because you do the works of God. And if you are the seed of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, according to Matthew 13, then you do the works because that seed brings forth its fruit. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Suppose we said that to Christians nowadays. If you're Abraham's children because you have faith in the promises, according to Romans 4, then you're going to be doing the works of Abraham. Abiding in Christ is the only place salvation is, folks. The Bible says in 1 John 5:11, God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Therefore, the only place you can have that life is abiding in Him. And some people think God has given them a gift of eternal life, that He's put it in their hand and they think they can go anywhere with that. But no, God says He put the gift in His Son, and the only people who are going to be saved is His Son. John 3:13 says, no one hath ascended into heaven, but he that descended out of heaven. And that's what Jesus said. So we see the Son of Man came out of heaven as the Word of God, John 1:1, and we're born from above when we accept that Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life, in John 6:63. And His words go into us and recreate His life and His spirit. And that is, this is a continual thing. It ain't a one-time step over the line accepting Jesus as your personal Savior kind of thing. And that quote is not anywhere in the Bible. It's a lie. Sanctification is a process of separating you from the world unto Christ. Jesus called it bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in Matthew 13:8. And the fruit He's talking about is the Word of God that came down out of heaven. So if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. Now, these people were Jews, and they believed that they were the chosen, just as a lot of Christians believe today. They accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. They believe they're forever saved, but they're not doing the works. However, Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So if you really believe on Jesus, if you're believing the promises in order to become Abraham's seed, then you're going to be doing the works of Jesus. We can't follow another religion. We have to follow the original one that was laid down here. Desire it earnestly. Seek earnestly for that which was originally given unto the saints, it says in Jude 3. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus demanded that they do the works of Abraham. Now, Abraham was a believer. He believed God. He walked by faith. He saw his fruit born in Isaac. The promised fruit was given to Abraham, who was not able to bring forth fruit on his own. And we can't bring forth fruit on our own either. None of us can bear fruit, the fruit of Christ, the fruit of the promised child. It has to be the same power of God that brought forth Abraham's fruit. And he had to believe in order for that to happen. Today, we're told you can believe and never bear fruit. We're told you don't have to bear fruit because that's works. Folks, it's God's work. Just as it was only God's work that brought forth fruit unto Abraham. We're Abraham's children. If we bring forth fruit that we can't bear naturally, it can only be born from Him by His power, through our faith. So Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now the people who don't believe in New Testament works, they of course say, well, that's because they were casting out demons and prophesying, and that's not legal today. That's utterly ridiculous. What Jesus is talking about is people who were doing the works of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. But they weren't obeying Jesus in their own life. They were not being obedient personally. You know, it's not the gifts, folks, that make us worthy of the kingdom of God. It's the fruit of Jesus Christ in us. See, we can manifest the gifts and God will just accept whatever we offer to his people. We can manifest any gift God can give us. And that's great. That's wonderful. But that ain't going to get us into the kingdom. It's the fruit of the word that gets us into the kingdom. 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that does righteousness is begotten of him. In other words, how can a person be born of God and still do iniquity? We're supposed to be departing from this world. We're departing from wickedness and evil, and we're being born of him. And now your spirit is born of him in a moment, but your soul's not. Your soul is born of him as you receive this word. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides. Corruptible seed is what you receive through men. Their ideas about God. They're little picking at verses here and verses there to make their doctrines fit and to make their religion right. Well, that's a corruptible seed, I can tell you. But we have to be born of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, the true word of God. Verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. How much truth are you obeying? Well, you might say, well, I'm obeying what I know. Well, that's good. James 4:17 says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God imputes sin when you know something and you're not doing it. And as we walk in more and more truth, as we abide in more and more of his word, we're becoming more and more disciples of Christ. And sin, according to what we just read in John 8, no longer exercising authority over us. Well, that's pretty neat. So you can see here that born again is more than a born again spirit. It's a born again soul. Your soul is born again. Only because you're obeying more and more of the truth of the gospel. 1 John 3:7, my little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He's saying, don't be deceived here. The people who do righteousness are righteous. And some may say, well, aren't we righteous by faith? Yeah, but if you're righteous by faith, faith without works is dead, James 2:17 said. And that's not your works. It's when your faith goes up to God that he does the work in you. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, as it says in Philippians 2:13. When you believe the promises of God, you confess the promises of God, and it's God who does the work in you. It's not you. He calls it ceasing from your works in Hebrews 4 and 10. And it says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Well, obviously, God plans on doing his righteousness in his elect. And the rest are going to claim God, but won't know God. These people believed in Jesus in John 8, but for some reason, they weren't walking in his steps. And it can only mean that they didn't believe the promises of God. And we need to spend time in the Word, folks. We need to make sure we're believing the promises of God, because that's where power over sin, that power to walk in the steps of Jesus, come from. It don't come from us. It comes from Him. So Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 39, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth. Well, once again, folks, I want to tell you, a lot of people calling themselves Christians are going to be the persecutors in these coming days. They're going to call heretics the people who believe exactly what the Bible says and speak exactly what the Bible said. And they got their own doctrine that says, that all passed away. We have a new religion now. God doesn't do things that way anymore. Well, in Hebrews 13 and 20, God called this an eternal covenant. And he said in Jude chapter 3, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's only the word that comes down from above that's the incorruptible seed that will bring forth Christ in you, which is the only hope of glory. And that's out of Colossians 1, verse 27. Well, folks, the only hope of glory is Christ in you. He's the only one that God is going to accept in heaven. He calls his people the body of Christ, Romans 12 and 5. Well, who lives in the body of Christ? Christ does. Who is going to heaven? Christ is. And there's no sin in him. When you sin, you step outside the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 16 and 18. Because there's no sin in him. 1 Peter 2:22, 1 Corinthians 6 and 18. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. So if you continue to abide in sin, are you abiding in Christ? No. And by the way, where is salvation? Where is eternal life? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So the people who say they can't be lost because they have eternal life when they walk while they walk in their sins are liars. They're just like those people Jesus was speaking to in that day. The man child is going to speak to them in this day, and they're going to get the same word. And it's going to have the same effect because they believe, hey, we're sons of Abraham. We've been born again. We accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. Yeah, but you're not abiding in his word. And you're not a disciple. And you're in bondage to sin. Oh, yeah, history is about to repeat here. John 8 and 41. Ye do the works of your father. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. But Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. Folks, if God is your father, you love Jesus. Now, what did Jesus say about love? He said, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loved me. 14:21. If God's your father, you'll keep his commandments. Well, why is that? Because you're born of God. His word lives in you, and you believe it. You're not denying it. You're believing it. It's part of you. It has power to cast out sin because the word of God doesn't come back void. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, it says in Hebrews 4 and 12. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth and am come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. And why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. Well, now looking back to verse 31, he's still talking to these people who believed him. Jesus said to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And now he's telling them, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father is your will to do. Well, how can we tell whether we're born of God or born of the world? First of all, you're not born of the word of God. Then you're born of this world. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, in Matthew 12 and 30. You either receive the incorruptible word of God or you receive something else. But another seed can't bring forth Jesus. Only the word of God can bring forth Jesus in you. And therefore, if you're believing a doctrine that's not backed up with his word and a teaching that's not backed up with his word, you've received another seed. You have another Jesus, and that's real dangerous because the only thing that can overcome sin and cause you to love Jesus is for you to believe and keep his commandments. And the power to do that only comes from God. It's not our power, it's God's power. Some people, because they don't believe in God's power, they believe only in their own power. And they'll quickly tell you, well, we can't be perfect. But the point's moot. It ain't got nothing to do with what we're talking about. Yes, we can't be perfect, but this perfection that was accomplished by Jesus at the cross is given to us because of our faith. And if you let some Pharisee talk you out of God's promises, that's very dangerous because you will not bear the fruit of Jesus Christ, and it won't matter if you believe in him or not. You're not a son of Abraham. He said, you're the father. You're of your father, the devil. And that could be said to an awful lot of Christians today because they're not born from above. They're not born of Christ because the word doesn't live in them. If you speak the word to them, they'll deny the word for their religion. And I want to tell you, it's obvious. If we just look at them, he that doth righteousness is righteous. And they aren't righteous because they don't do righteousness. They are sons of the devil. The proof of that is in their actions. It ain't what they say, that they accepted Jesus as their Savior and they believe in Jesus. His followers being addressed here believed in Jesus. Ye are of your father the devil, he says, and the lust of your father it is your will to do. That's what proves you're of the devil. You see, if you live in those lusts, right? John 8:44 says it. He was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Well, there it is right there. How do you know you're a seed of the devil? Because you don't stand in the truth. And I'll tell you, not one jot or one tittle is going to pass away from God's law. It don't make any difference if you deny it. It doesn't matter if your religion denies it. You're held accountable to it because the word of God is from Jesus Christ. Folks, there's no other way to get Jesus into you than for you to accept that word who comes down out of heaven. And if you're going to be born from above, that's the literal translation of John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Born from above, you have to be born of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. No other thinking, no other doctrine can bring forth Christ. And he standeth not in the truth, and neither do his children, even though they go to church. Now, these people being spoken to here were raised to believe that they were in the covenant. They were, of course, Jews in the natural, And to tell them that they were sons of the devil, not sons of Abraham, was far from their thinking, and they didn't believe him. And that's why they couldn't hear his words and didn't believe him. They won't believe him today because Jesus is coming again. And that's according to Hosea chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. On the morning of the third day as the latter rain. And before he comes in the cloud, he's coming as the latter rain. And those who are sons of the devil won't believe this today. He's coming. He said in John chapter 16, as the man child. He's coming born in the man child. He's coming to speak to his people again in another great ministry. The two witness ministry and the John the Baptist ministry. He's coming to speak to his people again, and they won't hear them either. They think they are sons of Abraham and sons of God. Verse 44, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. So how does a person get to be a son of the devil raised up under Judaism, studying the word and all those things? How do you get to be a son of the devil? Well, it's pretty easy, and it comes really naturally. Matthew 23 and 15 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he has become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. Well, how is it that these Pharisees, Sadducees, hypocrites, scribes, how is it they make people sons of hell? It's because they sowed a doctrine and a teaching that was not the seed that comes out of heaven, and there's only one thing which that can create. It's a son of hell. How do people who are religious get to be sons of the devil? All they have to do is receive the seed of the Pharisees and the Sadducees of our day, and they'll be sons of the devil. History has to repeat, folks. First time history doesn't repeat, the word of God is wrong. Ecclesiastes 1 and 9. That which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done, and there's no new thing under the sun. You hear that all the time, and it's the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now these things happened unto them, that's the Jews, by way of example. Well, that word of example here is a type or a shadow. And they were written for our admonition. And these are the Corinthians he's talking to, so he's talking to a Gentile church here, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So what happens to the Jews happens to the church. The natural Jews had their natural man child. The spiritual Jews are going to have their spiritual man child. 1546. Howbeit, that is not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. Then, excuse me, that which is spiritual. Well, that's the law. So the parable that we looked at back there in the gospel is going to have a fulfillment in the church. And this same Jesus who came and preached this to them is coming to preach this to you and to me. And many people are going to be found to be other than what they think they are because they've been deceived by a strong delusion. John 8 and 47, he that is of God hears the words of God. You know, the Bible says, he who is from God speaks the word of God. We can speak nothing else. We can't add to or we can't take away anything. Chapter 3 and verse 34, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. Therefore, if a person is speaking something that's adding to or taking away from the word, they're corrupting the seed, aren't they? They're not making it possible for you to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ. We are commanded to come out from among them and not sit under their leaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, even as ye are unleavened. For our Passover also hath been sacrificed, even Christ. Verse 8. Wherefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. What's the leaven? It's what changes the seed. It's what changes the word. It's basically man's way of making the bread taste more palatable to the old flesh of man and easier to swallow. What does he say? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And so he warns us to come out from among them and to cast out that old leaven from among you. He who is of God hears the words of God. And yet, folks, when I speak these things that are straight out of the gospel, when I talk about the works of Jesus, how much of the church do you think would accept it? Jesus said these signs will accompany them that believe. Jesus told us who believed. He told us who were the sons of Abraham. It's because they believed the promises. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons, and they shall speak with new tongues. How much of the church would reject that? Oh, glory to God, bunch of them. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in wise hurt them. No wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How much of the church would reject and rejects that today? Bunch of them. If Jesus showed up right now doing and teaching the same things he did, which is about to happen, folks, what you reckon they're going to do? The same thing they've done in the past. They're going to reject him. Because only he who is of God hears the words of God. A remnant in these days is going to hear the word of God, and the rest are going to fight him. Just as these same people in John chapter 8 did. He said, he that is of God hears the word of God. For this cause ye hear them not, because you're not of God. He that is of God hears the words of God. John 8 and 47. You see, when people don't hear the word of God, it's because in that point, they are not of God. So let's just agree with what the Word of God says about Jesus, okay? We just agree with the Lord Jesus. Now, what happened to these people? Well, let's go back to Matthew 13 and read what happened to them. Even before Jesus came, Matthew 13, 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. God had reprobated them. He wasn't even attempting to bring these particular Jews he's talking about into the kingdom. He had chosen a remnant, and they had heard his voice, and they were following him, but the rest were not. And so he said in verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. So even if they did have anything toward God, they were going to lose it. It was going to be taken away from them because they didn't have fruit. And therefore, they weren't going to receive. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Verse 14, and unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. That was a curse upon them. The overwhelming majority of Judaism who did not accept Jesus, this was a curse on them. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happening they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and should turn again, and I should heal them. Now this is going to be repeated, and it's being repeated in our time. They can't hear, they can't see. And you try to share the true gospel with them, and try to quote the word of God, they can't receive it. They don't believe it. It's not a part of what the Pharisees have given to them, and they're not sons of God. What are they? They're sons of the Pharisees, which makes them a twofold more son of hell than themselves. And that's what Jesus said. How does a so-called Christian get to be a son of the devil? Well, it's very simple. Just receive another seed that the one God sent. And that's happening all over the world. Who is it who's going to persecute the church? The true called out ones? Who's going to persecute them? It's these people who have been reprobated. And in the next verse, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. He's speaking to his remnant, his elect, his chosen ones. These are the chosen ones, not the ones that have who have been rejected. Much of the false church and the Pharisees have been saying all the natural Jews are the chosen people of God. Well, they hadn't read the New Testament because he broke off the natural Jews for their unbelief. You need to read it in Romans chapter 11 and verse 20. And he grafted in the Gentiles by faith, warning them that if they didn't continue to believe, they too would be broken off in verse 21. And it's basically the same thing Jesus said in John 8:47. For this cause you hear them not, because ye are not of God. And he continues in 10 verse 26, John 10 verse 26. But you believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. There are many Christians who don't believe what Jesus said here, nor when he comes this time to say the same thing, are they going to believe it? And if you quote it to them from the Bible, they won't believe it. And if you talk to them of the works of Jesus, which Jesus said all believers would do, they don't believe it. Verse 26, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. A lot of people like to quote that. People who don't believe the word of God, who don't follow Jesus, love to quote that verse when they don't even know what they're saying. Read carefully what he's saying. My sheep hear my voice. In other words, they accept all of the word of God. He who is of God hears the words of God, accepts the word of God. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. To these people, it's not necessary to follow. It's just necessary to accept. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior, but I continue to go down my own path. No, he says, and they follow me. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. These are the people who are abiding in Christ that he's talking about. And he gives unto them eternal life. How about the rest of the people in John 8, whom he said believed on him were naturally sons of Abraham? He said they were sons of the devil. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Well, the unconditional eternal security people who don't believe in the works of Jesus in that way, they don't believe in the words of Jesus. There's people who believed, were rejected, and didn't have eternal life. So what's Jesus saying here? He's saying that the people who are his true sheep hear his voice and they believe his word. He knows them, they follow him, and he gives to them eternal life. And we found from 1 John 5 that the only people who have eternal life are those who abide in Christ. Jesus said in John 15 and 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he says, is cut off. Well, how could you be in him? See, there are people who start out in Christ, but they don't continue in Christ. They get led astray by these religions, because they don't love the truth. They get led astray into one religion or another, and they don't continue to follow the Christ of the Bible. 2 John chapter 9. Whosoever goes onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. Do you know people who started out as Christians, but they don't abide in the teaching? And they don't even think it's necessary? The Bible says they have not God. He that abides in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. So you see, folks, what is wrong with this multitude of Christianity out there? It's real simple. They've been led astray by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes of this day. And they're not receiving this word right here. Now listen, folks, there's not one religion that followed Jesus. There were people who followed Jesus out of the religions. He came to the sheepfold. He called his by name and he called them out. That's what the word church means, called outwards. They followed him out. And if you follow the Pharisees of our day, you're going to die. You don't have eternal life if you follow these religions that pervert God's word. You know what repent means? It means to change your mind. Every time you read the word of God, you need to cast out your old software and put in the new software, glory to God. And this is the only way Jesus is born in your soul, through your obedience to the word of God. Every other seed is corruptible. Is corrupted, cannot bring forth Jesus Christ. Every other seed. A lot of you would do so much good to your soul to stay home and read your Bible and put that word down in your heart and stop following these Pharisees who think they can deny the word of God and still go to heaven. Stop following these multitudes of people who think they are sons of Abraham and do believe in Jesus. Remember, the devil believes in Jesus, but he just doesn't believe in him enough to repent. Multitudes of people who believe in Jesus, who believe they're sons of Abraham, who believe they have the covenant just like the people in John 8, are not going to have eternal life. That's because the only reason they believe the doctrines that they do is so that they can continue on in the lust of their flesh. They don't want a word from God that says, oh no, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Well, what's the way to righteousness? Faith in the promises of God. Faith that he really took away your sins, like it says in Acts 2:38. Faith that he delivered you out of the power of darkness, Colossians 1:13. Faith that he bore the curse for you, Galatians 3:13, and you don't have to hear the curse. It takes repentance. It takes repentance every time you read this word so that you can put this incorruptible seed in you, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. You remember what Paul's name was when he was among the Pharisees? His name was Saul. That ain't an accident. He was a Saul ministry, and yet God granted him repentance. God turned him away from that and turned him to Christ. And then God gave him a new name, just like he promises in the book of Revelation. He gave him Paul. And as you know, Paul led many people out of apostasy and on to follow the Lord. Folks, God always repeats history. For Jesus came along, and what was prophesied about him in Luke 1:31 says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Praise be to God. And so we see that Jesus came to sit on the throne of David, or to rule over New Testament spiritual Israel as a repetition of the Davidic ministry over Israel. We also discovered a parallel here that we're finding in other places in the scriptures, and that is when Jesus came on the scene to lead those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, that there was a ministry already in place that fought him every step of the way. And before David came on the scene, there was a Saul ministry. Those Pharisees, Sadducees, and Zealots, and all the heads of the denominations in Jesus' day represented this Saul ministry. Glory to God. Folks, get in the Word of God and find out for yourself what it says, and don't allow those apostate preachers out there to tell you what it says. Well, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next time, Lord willing.